Let's be netted with Hashem's help. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is daf Kuf Hey. We're going to begin from the very bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Higia Os Achas. Chayev, if you correct, I think we did this already, but we corrected one letter. Yechayev. What do you mean? You write one letter, you're putter. He geos achas chayv. You correct one letter. If you removed the roof of the ches and vaso shnei zayin, made it into two zayins. The ches is made out of two zayins. So if you remove the roof and man make it into two zayins, that's why you chayv. Rav Amar kagon shenatlo l'tagel shel dalad. No, you just took the little extra piece of the dalad of aso reish and made it into a reish. With that, you were machshir the whole sefer Torah. So that's considered to be a davar chashuv, and therefore you violate Shabbos with that. So bottom line, Tana, niskaven lechtov os achas va'ala biyado shtayim. Let's say you intended to write one letter, but you ended up writing two letters. You are chayev. Now that's very strange at first glance, because usually if you don't intend, you're not chayev. So. So the Mishnah earlier said that no, this has got to be talking about a situation where you intended to write two letters, but you when you wrote the first one, and you were only intending to write the first of two, you ended up writing two. So that's when you chayv. But if you only intended to write one and you ended up writing two, you're not chayv. We saw that earlier. Yeah, Tosis points this out in the top Tosis on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Niskaven lichtov ches because of shnei zayinin. Tosas points that on top of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Anyway, ask the Gemara of Hatanan, Pater, didn't we learn in the Mishnah that if you intend to write one letter and you write two, you're exempt? Lokasha, ha de boi ziyune, ha de lo boi ziyune. That the Mishnah that says you're exempt, that's talking that you haven't yet put the tagin on top of the letter. So if you haven't yet done that, so that's why you're exempt. But if you don't need tagin, so you already had the tagin on top of you, right? Then you're chayiv. A tagin are these little crowns that you have on top of the Sefer Torah on the letters Shatnez Getz. Shatnez Getz. Shin Ayin Tes Nun Zayin Gimel Tzadi. Shatnez Getz. Those are the letters that get crowns. Why do those letters get crowns? I'm not sure why. But those are the ones that get it. It's a Rashi, Maseches Menachos, explaining the Gemara. Tosis over there also writes, some people, the way they make the tagin are one pointing to the right, one pointing to the left, and one straight up in the middle. That's the way they would have three little crowns on these letters in the Sefer Torah, Shatnez Getz. They're called zayinin, because it's like a little, because they're made like little zayins. Fine. Let's continue. Kasav osachas nutrikun. If you write one letter symbolizing a whole word, you wrote one letter as like an abbreviation for a whole word. Rabbi Shua ben Maseira says Yechayev, he's Mechayev. Acham pochen, I'm Rabbi Yochum Shem Yosef ben Zimra. Where do we know that the Torah has this idea that one letter could really be representative of a lot more letters, like an abbreviation? Shneamar, or it's called notrikun, right? Notrikun, like an abbreviation. Shneamar, ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. Hashem says to Avram Avinu, you are av hamon goyim. And he says, av hamon is actually an abbreviation. Aleph stands for Av Nesaticha Lumos, you're a daddy to the nations. Bachor Nesaticha Lumos, you're the chosen nation. Hamon Chaviv Nesaticha Lumos, you're beloved to the world. Melech Nesaticha Lumos, you're a king. Like the B'nei Chay said to Nesi Elokim Atab Sochenu. Vasik Nesaticha Lumos, you're very trusted. Neman Nesaticha Lumos, Umatzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha. From Yochan Didei Amar, Rabbi Yochanan himself, that was in the name of Yosef ben Zimmer. Rabbi Yochanan himself said there's another abbreviation in the Torah. Unbelievable. The very first of the Ten Commandments. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi. What is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Sheyotzei Sicha Me'eretz Yisrael? The very first word of that sentence is Anochi, says the Gemara. Anochi is actually a no trikon. It's actually an abbreviation. What is an Anochi an abbreviation for? Anochi is Ano Nafshi Ksivas Yehovis. Hashem says, I myself wrote the Torah and I myself am giving you the Torah. Anochi, it's me. Ano Nafshi Ksivas Yehovis. I wrote it and I'm giving it to you. Rabbanan Amre. Again, I looked very quickly last night, but I always thought people understood this to also mean that Hashem wrote himself in the Torah. Anot nafshi ksivas yaharis. The Torah is an expression of myself, but I didn't see anybody say that pshat. The simple pshat of the Gemara is anot nafshi means I myself wrote it. Hashem is writing. I wrote in the Torah. For Rabbanan Amre, Amira ne'ima ksiva yehiva. Some say it stands for a beautiful, pleasant speaking, I wrote and I gave. Ikeda amre anochi lamafresh, be backwards. Yehiva ksiva, I gave this and I wrote it ne'mona mamoreha. Its words are faithful. I saw in the Achronim that the source, some people say that the source that when you write a sefer, you're supposed to hide your name. You're supposed to hide your name in the very first part. You're supposed to hide your name in the very first part of the sefer comes from here. The Rokeach writes in the introduction to his sefer that every person has to hint to his name in his sefer. Like in the Tanah Devei Elio, it starts with the words Vayigarish, which is Gematria Tanah Devei Elio. The Medrash Tadshe from Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair begins with Vayomer Lekim Tadshe, and Tadshe is Gematria Zer Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar starts with Mi Yamalo Gvuras Hashem, which is Begematria Eliezer Ben Hyrcanus. Says the Chasam Sofer that the proof that you're supposed to always write your name in the beginning of the Sefer is from Hashem himself, from our Gemara, that he began the Aseres HaDibros with the word Anochi. Ananavshi Ksivas Yehovis. I wrote this. And furthermore, the Chasam Sofer writes as well that this is also proof to this, what the Rashba writes, that the Torah likes to publicize the names of people who do mitzvahs. Had Reuven known they were writing about him, he would have put him on his shoulders. So we see that the Torah is trying to be mefarsh saying people do mitzvahs. Says the Chasam Sofer, the proof is from Hashem himself, that Hashem wrote the Torah, and the Torah writes, Anochi, I wrote the Torah. So anyway, that's what some say from Anochi. Let's continue. Devei Rabbi Nasan O Amrei, Ki Yorat HaDerech LeNegdi, that the Malach says to Bilam, when Bilam, the Malach says to Bilam, Ki yarat aderet lenegdi, yara rasa venatza. The donkey was scared because it saw, and that's why it went off. So yarat is an abbreviation of yara rasa nutsa. Divei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Carmel, the minch carbon minchas omer needs to be brought with full kernels. Carmel. Carmel is an abbreviation of carmeli, like a stuffed pillow. That's the way the grain is supposed to be for the Karban HaOmer. So you see from this that the Torah talks in abbreviations, and that the abbreviations are significant. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, V'hu kilalani klala nimretzes. This word nimretzes is a little bit strange. David HaMelech is on his deathbed. He's telling Shlomo HaMelech he should take care of Shimi Ben Gera, who cursed him out. V'hu kilalani klala nimretzes. What is the word? So nimretz is a little bit of a strange word. You don't find it anywhere else in Tanakh. So what does the word nimretzis mean? It's actually an abbreviation for what? No trikun. Noif, who is an adulterer. Moavi, who is a Moavi rotzech, who is a killer. Tsorer, who is an enemy. Toevo, he's disgusting. So that's what nimretzis stands for, going to the Gemara. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, manedaber manetzadok. The brothers said to Yosef, manetzadok. What do you mean manetzadok? They really were tzaddikim. So what is nitzdadik? They didn't really steal the gaviyah. Yosef planted the gaviyah in them. What do you mean, man nitzdadik? So must be, it's an abbreviation. Nechonim anachnu, tzadikim anachnu, tahorim anachnu, dakim anachnu, kadoshim anachnu. You're accusing us of stealing the gaviyah. We didn't do anything wrong. We're actually pure. We're holy. That's why they said man nitzdadik. You know, how could we be proven to be tzadikim? Like, you think we're a liar. You think we're a ganav, but we really know that we really are tzadikim. So man nitzdadik means really we are nitzdadik. Not that we're not. Right? Usually, man and stag means that we're not tzaddikim, but in this case, it was the notrikan saying they really weren't tzaddikim. They were lying. The word dakim here means, you know, humble and of humble spirit. Okay. New Mishnah. Hakosev shteyosios b'shtey ha'alamos. You forgot it was Shabbos, you wrote one letter. Then you remembered it was Shabbos. Then you forgot it was Shabbos again, you wrote a second letter. Or, achas b'shachas v'achas b'in arbaim. One letter in the morning, one letter in the afternoon. Rav Gamliel mechayev v'chachamim pochim. Says the Gemara, Gemai Kamifli, what are they arguing about? Rav Gamliel savar ein yudil l'chatzi shir. Rav Gamliel says that the only time yediyah is significant is if you know you did a malacha. So if you only did one letter, that's not a malacha, so that yediyah is not significant. It doesn't split up into two letters, and therefore you're chayev. But according to Chachamim, say no, just like a yediyah divides two writings of two letters each, so too a yediyah divides two writings of one letter each, and therefore you're putter. Now, what about... Fine. So, Rav Gamliel Sava ein yediyah l'chatzi shir. Rabban Sava yesh yediyah l'chatzi shir. And what about this business of one in the morning and one in the night? Take a look at Tosas Rabbanan. Last Tosas in the parak. Pirish v'kunches hal d'nagat osachas v'shachas oz b'in abayim kevet avishos b'in time k'di l'yedah l'chashim. Yes, so Rashi says, how come if you're at one in the morning and one in the afternoon, why does that not combine? You didn't remember in between. You didn't remember with Shabbos. So Rashi says, well, such a long time, so it's as if you knew in between. Tosa says, what are you talking about? Ve'ein nira, chad da'av le'il far shir shos. It should tell you how long. How long is long? Vo'o damar le'el, kazo azachas, one letter in Tzipori and one letter in Tveri Yechayev, even though there's enough time. So Tosa says, it means, no, you did know in between. And the Chiddush is, even though you knew in between and there was a long time, nevertheless, Rav Gamliel still says, Chayev. That's the way Tosas learns this. Okay. Hadron Alach Habone. Let's begin the parak of Ha'orig. Everything you ever wanted to know about weaving, but were afraid to ask. Here we go. Says the new Mishnah. Says the new parak. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Ha'orig shlosha chutin betchila. When you, at the very beginning of a garment, you need three strings. Chute ariv. Again, let's just, again, it's a little hard to explain over Zoom or anywhere exactly how a loom works. We've talked about it a little bit. Basically, they're chute hashesi. The shesi strings go lengthwise, and then the ariv strings go widthwise on the loom. So three widthwise strings along the shesi. Rabbi Leza says at the beginning of a garment, you need three weaves because that's permanent. That's what's going to stick. Ve'achas al ha'orig. But if there's an already woven garment, if you just add one to it, you're already chayev because it'll last. Chayev. The chacham disagree. This is the way we pass. Can chacham or no? Bein betchila, bein besof. Whether you're starting a garment or adding on to a garment, shiro shnei chutin. You need two strings in order for it to be considered to be a legit weaving, which would last. Ha'ose shtei batei nirin. So it's a little machlokas what ha'ose shtei batei nirin means. Rashi says it means that you actually string the strings of shesi in between the small holes in the loom to you know, even though loading the loom is a different melacha, that's mesich, but sticking them in between the small holes that they're supposed to go through, that's osish tebatanir. And others say it means actually making those small loops. Not stringing the string through the loops, but actually making the loops. Two opinions what this means. Osa shtei batei nirin. Bin nirin. If you do this in a kli called nirin, the Gemara is going to explain what this means. Bikirus, or in another vessel called the kirus, the Gemara is going to explain what that means also. Binapa, if you do it when you're weaving a sifter, bikvara, or a sieve, another kind of sifter, uvisal, or weaving a basket. Chayav. So if you do two of them, you're chayev. The Gemara is going to elaborate more on that. V'hatofer shtei tefiros. If you sew two stitches, that's not weaving. Now we're talking about sewing stitches, needle and thread. Hatofer shtei tefiros v'akorei amenas litfor shtei tefiros. Or you rip something on the condition because you're intending to restitch it with two stitches. You are also chayev, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ki Asa Rabbi Yitzchak. When Rabbi Yitzchak journeyed from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Tani, he stated in the Mishnah as follows. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Shtayim, that it's only two stitches at the beginning of Yichayim. Ask the Gemara, Va'anan Tanan Shlosha, but our version says three. Ask the Gemara, Lokasha, Ha Ba'alime Ha B'Ktine. It depends whether they're thick strings or thin strings. I'm a little high geese. Some say thick are better than thin. Some say thin are better than thick. Why? I'm a little high geese. Some say in this direction, alime klasif. The big thick strings, you need three of them. Lo sasre, because you need three in order to make a tight knot. But shrei sasre, if it's just two big thick strings, it's not going to stay together. Ketine, thin strings, paradoxically, even though it sounds like they're not stronger, but to make a knot with thinner strings, fewer strings actually last, because since they're thinner, they're going to interlock better. Ketine, train amulosasi. If the strings are thinner, it's like why it's harder to tie thick strings on your thick shoelaces than thin ones. Thin ones, you know, go very tight, but the thick ones, it takes a lot more of it to make it tight. But ketine, train amulosasi. Even two stitches won't come loose. Va'amila the high geese, others say in the other direction, no, the thicker strings are stronger. Katina, Tlasa, Yadie. Oh, the small ones, you need three to be significant because you can't see them. They're so small, so you need three. Tre, lo Yadie. But two of the thin strings are too small and insignificant. You're not going to see them. But Alime, the thick ones, Tre Namiyade, since they're so big, even two stitches, you could already see them. So they make a significant difference, even just with two. Let's continue. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ha'urig, Shlosha Chodim Betchila, if you weave three weaves, Ve'echar Al Arg, or you add one, Chayev, Ha'chamom, Be Mechila, Be Mesof, Shirin Shnei Chutin. Whether you start or add on, either way, it's always two stitches of the weave with the arev is what's mechav you. Uvisafa, however, if on the edge of the garment, it's a whole different type of weave on the edge. Shnei chutin berochav shlosha batei nirin. So on the edge, the amount that's significant is two strings of a width of three batei nirin. Meaning you don't even have to go the whole way. Like usually it would have like 10 batei nirin in the thing. So even if you just had 3 batei nirin, which is not the size of keruch kemali rochav hasit, we'll see later on that the size of this is like a double. Kemali rochav hasit is the area between your pointer and your middle finger, right? Take a look at the screen here. Your pointer and your middle finger, that's mali rochav hasit. Some say it's this, between your thumb and your finger, but most Rishonim say it's this. We'll see in a minute. Uvisafa shnei chutim berochav shlosha batei nirin. Even if it's just the width of three batei nirin, that's enough. Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ha, l'mazeh doma, why is the edge of the garment different? La'oreg tziltzol katan, a person is weaving a tiny little belt. It's only three batei nirin wide. So therefore, shnei chutim berochav shlosha batei nirin. If you just weave two strings on a width of three batei nirin, that's good enough, even though you don't have the regular shear of weave, and the regular amount of weave is kemali rochav asit, as I said before, like between your pointer and your middle finger. We're going to see that in one moment. The Gemara concludes, v'ha'oreg shlosha chutin betchila v'echad ala oreg chayev, stomach Rabbi Eliezer. Tani idach, we learned in another braisa. Ha'oreg shnei chutin al hagas. If you weave two strings on the thick part of the weave, meaning in the middle of a garment, ve'al ha'imra, or on the beginning of the garment, chayev, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, no, afilu echad. If it's in the middle of the garment, even if you add one string, you'd be chayev. Uvisafa, but on the edge of it, where it's a different type of weave, Shnei chutin berochav shlosha batinir in chayev. Like we said, v'halamazadoma la'orik tziltzol katan is like a small belt. Shnei chutin al rochav shlosha batinirin. And the Gemara concludes, v'ha'orik shnei chutin al agas v'ala imra chayev stomach rabbanon. You need two strings always two strings, whether it's in the middle of the garment or the beginning. So this is like the Shir of Chachamim, who said it's always two. So the Mishnah said, Ha'osah shnei batei nirin b'nirin. So what does that mean? My b'nirin. What do you mean you do shnei batei nirin in the nirin? What does that mean? What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Amar Abai, tarte b'batei nira. It means that you pass each string of the two strings of the shesi, the two lengthwise strings, between the strings of the nirin, meaning of the clamps that hold these little loops that you would loop the string through. One time you go through one of the sets of strings, and one time you go through the other set of strings. V'chada b'nira, tarte b'bate nira, twice in the big square clamps with the little holes in them that the strings would go through on the loom. V'chada b'nira, and once you go on the second box. Let me just try to describe this to you. Basically, the way a loom works is you have one box with strings going down, and then another box with strings, and you weave the weaves in between the two boxes. So when the Mishnah says you have to stick them through the small holes in the nirin, it means both in the first clamp and the second clamp, because basically one would go up and one would go down when you weave. You go one up, then you stick the string through, then you go one down and you stick the string through, then one up and you stick it through, one down. So both of these boxes, you needed to weave the nirin through these boxes. Bakirus, what's the kirus? My bakirus, what's the vessel called the kirus? Amarav mitsuvisa. It's, I think, the petals that you would pedal the different boxes up and down with. So that's the kirus. Vatofer shtei tviros, if you sew two stitches, asks the Gemara, Hatanina, didn't we already learn this in the Mishnah earlier on Ayin Gimel? Why does the Mishnah have to repeat it over here, that you sew two stitches? Hatanina, we learned it already. Ba'avos malachos, vatofer shtei tviros. Answer the Gemara, Mishnah the Kabbalah, Mishnah Seifa. No, here it adds on, Vahakorea, ripping Amanas lit for shtei tviros with the condition of stitching two tviros, Ktaninami tahatofer. So it includes here also stitching. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. Look back at the last Mishnah. It said that also. Hanami Tanina. That it already said. It said in the Mishnah 9 Gimel. Babas Malachos. It said if you stitch two, and if you, by ripping, well, we're going to learn in a moment, just ripping stam, you're not chayav on Shabbos. It's got to be a constructive. If you're just ripping, that's mekalkel. That's destruction. And it's only an issa derabanan. So the only time you're chayav from mekalkel, if it's korea amenas litfor. It's ripping for the condition of restitching, so that's considered to be a positive thing. Says the Gemara, Akareha, Nami Tanina, Ba'avos Malachos, Ella, Mishim Dekabai, Lemisne, Seifa. No. It wanted to tell you the end of the Mishnah. What? Akareha, Bechamaso, Almeso. No, if you're angry and you rip something because you're angry, or you rip something because somebody just died, and you're doing Kriya for the mitzvah of ripping for the dead person, either to appease your anger or because somebody died. The next Mishnah is going to say that that's pater. So Mishum Hachi Katani Atofer Shtei Tviros. That's why it has to say here that if you rip for a constructive purpose, you are chayev. We're going to see that in a moment. What's the difference between ripping with a condition of re-sewing versus ripping if you're angry or ripping if somebody died? Let's see. The Gemara is going to explain. How do you have a scenario where you're ripping on the condition to sew up two stitches? How do you have such a thing? Says the Gemara, David ki kisna. Let's say you have a pocket. Sometimes the weave didn't go straight, so you end up having a little pocket there, and it's like a little sticking out of the garment, so you're going to rip out that little pocket where you have a little bulge there, rip out the bulge and restitch it, so that it's now smooth, you lost the bulge. That's when you're going to rip stitches for the condition of restitching it. Let's continue. Says the Halakha Gemara, says the Halakha Mishnah. Hakorea bechamaso v'almeso. If a person's very, very angry and he rips things on Shabbos because he's very angry, he's doing it to like release the tension, to just get his anger out on something. So he doesn't need the object he's ripping at all. The ripping is for a totally separate goal. Or v'almeso, or let's say someone just died and he's mechoyev to do kriya. So he rips. V'almeso. The Gemara is going to explain what type of mace we're talking about here. V'chala mekalkalin peturin. So if you rip for your anger or you rip because someone died, you're exempt. You're a mekalkal. And this is considered to be mekalkal and you're putter. However, it's still usher to do this, right? Putter avalos, mekalkal. Why is mekalkal putter on Shabbos? So Rashi Maseches Chagiga says, because the Torah says, Meleches Machsheves, Lasos B'chol Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves means it's got to be a creative, positive melacha. If it's destructive in nature, it's not Meleches Machsheves. It's not an exalted, lofty, chashiva, positive type of action. Creative, constructive action. Meleches Machsheves, Rashi understands to mean, if you're mekalkel, you're destructive by definition, that's not a violation of Shabbos. It's still usser. It's still awesome with the Rabbanon. V'amekalka amenas l'sakein shiurokim misakein. Destroying with the condition of fixing, the shiur is how much you would normally be chayv in terms of fixing it. Says the Mishnah, shiur hamelabein, how much wool do you have to clean, launder, to be chayv for laundering? V'hamenafetz, or combing it out, the wool, v'hatsovea, dyeing it, v'hatove, spinning it, kamali rocha v'asit. Kuffel. Doubled over, kamali rocha v'asit means the area between your pointer and your middle finger stretched out like this. Take a look. Like this. Your pointer and your finger doubled. Twice. Doubling it over. Kamali rocha v'asit kuffel. So says Rashi. The Rambam in Perish HaMishnah writes that Mali Rocha Vasit is not like Rashi. Rashi says from your pointer to your middle finger. The Rambam Perish HaMishnah says it's actually from your thumb. From your thumb to your pointer. That's Kamali Rocha Vasit. Rashi says that would be Mali Rocha Vasit Kuffel. That would be double. And Mali Asit is half of that. Which is like a half a tefach. So Rashi seems to say, Mala Asid is a half a tefach, and Mala Asid Kuffel is a full tefach. The Rambam says, no, Rochav Asid is a tefach, Mala Asid Kuffel would be two tefach. However, in Hilchas Shabbos, the Rambam writes, Mala Rochav Asid is shnei tefachim, Rochav Asid is between the bone and the etzba. Right. Okay, says the Gemara, Uriminhu, I'll ask you a contradiction. Hakorea bechamaso v'avlo v'almeso chayov. Our Mishnah says, if you rip because you're angry, you're putter, or for a dead person. But we learned in a brisa, chayov. V'afal pisha mechales ha-shabbos yotze yidei kriya. And even though you're mechal Shabbos, you are yotze kriya. You don't have to go back and rip again during the week.
Doesn't that contradict like something like if you stole a lulav and used it, you wouldn't be...
Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting, Joe. Should be a mitzvah. Right, it's a mitzvah baba there.
Why would it count here?
Where do you learn the halacha? Joe, I'll get back to you in a minute. Where do you learn the halacha that you have to rip for a dead person? It's not explicit in the Chumash. It says by Aaron, Moshe says to Aaron and Elazar in the summer, Bigdechem lo sifromu. Don't rip. You guys, you're Kohanim, you shouldn't rip. The implication is everybody else is Chayev Lekroa. That's the source. That's Rashi and Chumash says like that. We'll see later on which relatives you have to rip for. even a kriya be'isr is nachshavas kriya. So Joe, I think that the answer to your question is that it's not a mitzvah to rip. The mitzvah is to walk around with ripped clothing. It's not the maisa ripping that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to walk around. So at the end of the day, you ripped your clothing, so you're walking around with ripped clothing. It's not the mitzvah to do the act of ripping. I think the mitzvah is that for 7 days you're supposed to walk around with ripped clothing. I'm not sure about that, but it's very interesting. Very, very good ha'ara, Joe. I have to research that a little bit more, Joe. Yatsa Yidei Kriya. Oh, so our Mishnah says, HaKoreb HaMas Al Meis, so your putter, the Bryce is Chayv, Loi Kasha. Ha B'Meis Tidei, Ha B'Meis Alma. One is talking about where it's your relative. So that's where you're, if it's your relative, so it's constructive. So you're Chayv. And but if it's somebody else's relative, it's destructive. You're pata. Ask the Gemara about mesok, Tani. What do you mean? But it's in the Mishnah. It says meso. So how can you say it's somebody else? Answer the Gemara. You're right. Lo'olam b'mesti day. Uvahanach the lav b'nei avels tenu. Means you ripped over a mace that you're not chayev to rip for. That's why you are. It's destructive. You're pata. Says the Gemara. Come on. Ask the Gemara. V'i chacham hu. But if this person was a mace, is a chacham. Everybody has to rip for him, so it's constructive. The sanya, chacham shemeis hakol krovov. A talmud chacham passes away, everyone rips kriya. Certainly, if it's your Rebbe Muvhak, we'll see. Halacha lemaisa, if it's your Rebbe Muvhak, you're supposed to do kriya. A chacham shemeis hakol krovov. A chacham who dies, everyone is considered to be his karov. Says the Gemara, hakol krovov? What do you mean, everybody? Eleima hakol kikrovov. Everyone is like a karov. Hakol korin alav. If the god Ladar dies, everybody could rip kriya. Vakol choltsin alav. Everybody should they walk around with their shoulders bared. They used to have that custom in Avelis. Vakol mavrin alav barachva. Everybody eats their meals in the street. Suda Savra. So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay, who says we're talking about a Chacham? Lo Tzricha, the Lav Chacham. Okay, so our Mishnah is talking about where he's not a Chacham. Says the Gemara, V'yadam Kashahu, but if he's a righteous person, Chiyuv and Mechayev, everybody has to rip for a righteous person. Why does a person, kids, die when they're young? Kadesha Yivke V'yisabel Aladam Kashar. So that he should observe proper avelos on a kosher person. Says the Gemara, what? Kadesha Yivka Arvona Shaklimine? What? We're taking somebody away from him so he should cry for no reason? No. Elamit Pnei Shalo Bachav Isabal Adam Kosher. Maybe he did not appropriately mourn for a tzaddik who died. That's the punishment. Shakala Bocha Aladam Kosher Mochlan Al Kovanosav. Anyone who cries after the passing of a righteous person, so they're Mochel on all his sins. Bishvil Kavod Shasalo. Because of the honor. So the Gemara says, okay, lo tzricha delav adam kasher. So our Mishnah is talking about the guy wasn't an adam kasher. And that's why the ripping was totally destructive and your potter. But the Gemara adds on, v'idikar b'shas yitzias neshama chiyuv mechayev. If you happen to be present when a Jew passes away, even if he's not an adam kasher, you have to rip kriya at any Jew, even if he's not your relative. If you are present, chas rachmana litzlan, in a hospital room, or you see somebody killed in front of you, you have to rip kriya. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Omer Ha'omid Al Meis B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. If you stand by a mace, even not related to you, even not an Adam Kasher, even not an Adam Chashuv, a regular Jew, if you're there, B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, Chayiv L'Kroa, Ha'olamazah Doma L'Sefer Torah Shenisrafa. The Yid, he did mitzvahs, no, he learned some Torah, he davened, he did something. So he's like a Sefer Torah that burnt. He's a walking, talking Sefer Torah. So just like when a Sefer Torah burns, you have to rip Kriya. So to a Jew who dies, if you're there by any Jew who dies, even if he's not an Adam Kasher, and he's not a Talmud Chacham, you have to rip Kriya. Because the mitzvos that are in the heart of a person are like the letters of a Sefer Torah. So says the Meiri. Others say because when he dies, he can no longer do Torah and mitzvah. So we're mourning over the fact that he can no longer do them. So says the Ritva in the name of Rashi. Okay. Says the Gemara, you're right. Okay. Lo tzricha delo kai b'shasi shi'in shon. Okay, you weren't there at the time of the death. Says the Gemara. Tenach, mesa. Okay, you've answered why ripping for mace is not constructive. El chamaso achamaso kasha. How come in one place, when you rip for your anger, you're pater, and in one brice it says, when you rip for your anger, you're chayev? Answers the Gemara, chamaso achamaso nami lo kasha. It's also not a problem. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. It's a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa. So Rabbi Yehuda holds a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa is chayev. And Rabbi Shimon says, patam, because you don't want the ripped garment. You're just appeasing your anger. So if you're ripping for your anger, it's a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa, chayev ala. Ha Rabbi Shimon, malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa, pater ala, pater avalasa. Says Gemara, wait a second. Amen to Shammah, stay the Rabbi Yehuda. B'misakin, but that's at least where you're doing something constructive. B'makalkel mishamislay, but the whole malacha is destructive. Answer the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Oven, Hainami misakinu. This is also a tikkun. This is also a positive act. Why? Dekavid nachas ruach liyitzro. Because you're calming yourself down when you're angry, and you're calming yourself down, so your yitzahara is relaxed. Ask the Gemara, Chai gavna mishari, really? Is it permissible to rip your garments? What about Baal Tashchis? Is it permissible to rip your garments to calm yourself down? V'hatanya, Rabbi Shimon Allah's Omer Shem Chilfa Bar Agda, Shem Shem Yochan Benuri, Hamakareh Begadu B'chamaso. The person rips his garments because he's angry. Hamashab Akele B'chamaso. Or he smashes vessels in his house because he's angry. V'hamafazim Osav B'chamaso. Or he spends money because he's angry. Goes on a shopping spree to reduce the stress. It's like you're violating Avodah Zarah. Shekach umnaso shal Yetzahara. That's the way the Yetzahara works. Hayom amr lo asekach. Today it says do a small little Avera. Ulamacha amr lo asekach. And the next day you end up doing a bigger Avera. Ad shem lo avod Avodah Zarah. V'holech v'oved. Amr Rabbi Ovin. Mikra. Where do you see this in the Pasuk? Lo yibacha kel zar. I should say, Lo Yibacha El Zar, Velo Sestachav Ela El Nechar. And who is that? Ve'ezeo El Zar, She Yesh Begufa Shalom, Havim Zay Yetzahara. You can't give in to the Yetzahara on the little stuff. Anyway, so we're back to the original Kasha. So it's Baal Tashchis. You're not allowed to do this. So why is it considered to be something constructive? Answer the Gemara, Lo Tzricha Dekavid Lemir Ma'em Sa'in She Beise. Wow. The Gemara says, you are allowed to show anger in order to make sure that your kids listen to you. Wow. You're not allowed to really get angry at your kids, but you're allowed to show anger so on a weekday, there's no, even if you're going to rip something, to show your kids that you're angry, to show anger, therefore, it's mutter if you're going to try to, it's part of the chinuch of your children. Ki hada Rav Yehuda shalif matziv yasa. Similar to the case of Yehuda, he would rip the edges of his garment to show the people in the house that he was angry so that they should listen to him. Ravacha by Yaakov Tavarmani Tavire, he used to break kelim that were already broken to feign anger. Not you should be really angry, Chas Hashem, person should never be really angry at his kids, but he should feign anger. Rav Sheshes Rami Le La'amse Munine Aresha. He would pour the brine of fish on his servant's head to feign anger. Rabbi Abba Tavar Nichtema, he would break the covering of the barrels to show anger in the house. Never to Chas Hashem get angry, just to show anger. Amar Mishum Ben Pazir, Mishum Ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kol Hamorid Dema'os Al Adam Kosher, anyone who cries for the passing of a Talmud Chacham, of a Tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so from the Manichem Beis Gnozov, Hashem counts up his tears and puts them in his treasure house. Shenemar, Nodi Safarta Atasima Demasi Benodcha Halo Besifra Secha. You counted up my tears and you put them in your jar. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Kolam Es Atzel Bespedo Shel Chacham. Anyone who does not put the appropriate effort into giving a proper hesped for a Talmud Chacham that passes away, Roy Lekovro B'chayev, it's appropriate to bury him alive. Shenemar, we're going to get to the parashah here in 5 minutes. You see, they got very badly punished. They got buried in, alive in a mountain for not giving the proper hesped for Yeshua ben Nun. Anyone who does not give an appropriate hesped to a Talmid Chacham is not going to live long. Mida keneged mida. Shneamar b'sasa'a b'shalcha t'rivena. Right? The way you measure, that's the way we measure you. Eis Rabbi Chir Rava l'Rabbi Yochanan v'yavdu ha'amis Hashem kol yimei Yoshua v'chol yimei askenim v'sharichu yamach Yoshua. You see, the Zakenim lived long after Yeshua. I thought the Zakenim got punished for not giving an appropriate hesped to Yeshua ben Nun. Amar lei bavloi yamim harichu shanim lo harichu. They had long days, they had good days, but they did not live long. El miyat leman yibu yimeichem yimei b'neichem yamim v'lo b'shanim. Answer the Gemara, bracha shani. No, when it comes to blessing, Hashem will give you arichas yamim v'shanim. Arichas yamim means you have good days, and shanim means you live long. It's two different things, the Gemara says. So when it comes to a bracha, so it means both. Okay, we're going to stop here. Mordechai, what do you say for Motzei Shabbos? It's got to be later, right? It's got to be later now, right? What time? 9:40. 9:40.